Well, let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we're so thankful to you. And we come before you with thanksgiving and praise. We bow before you in humility. You are everything and we're nothing, and yet you love us immeasurably. And somehow in your great and fantastic plan, you use us to glorify yourself. And Father, I so sincerely ask you this morning to overshadow my flesh and my foolishness, close my mouth and close their ears on things that don't need to be said. And Father, we would ask that according to your plan and your purpose and your way, that you would speak life this morning, life and liberty. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So in keeping with songs that we sung, testimonies that we heard, prayers that we prayed, and the reason I would like to share this thought before we share the Lord's table together is the Lord's table is, it celebrates, one of the aspects that it celebrates is the cross and the price that Jesus paid and what he did on the cross. And so in keeping with all of those things, there's something I'd like to talk about before we do that. That is, share the Lord's table together. And how many of you here, this is I know the answer, but how many of you here are happy that your sins have been paid for? And in fact, if you spend much time looking at that, you will rejoice. If you're having one of those bad days, one of those moments where, man, life just seems to be rotten. And to quote me as a kid, my aunt reminded me of this a few years back, that I was rather depressed at one point, and she said that what I said was, "I may as well go eat worms." And so if you're having one of those days where you may as well go eat worms, look at the fact of your sin is atoned for. You know the truth that the wages of sin is death. You know what you deserve. You have seen a little bit of heaven on earth. You understand a little bit of what heaven is, and you understand a little bit of what hell is. And I'm ecstatic that I'm not going there, to hell that is. And that is part of the penalty, is that eternal separation from God, that has been paid for. Some of the songs that we sung about this morning, he breaks every chain. You know, we were bound to sin. I'm actually moving into my second point. Let me back up, stay on the atonement here. The atonement, the fact that what I deserve is a horrible, eternal, everlasting, excruciating punishment. And when we look at the elements here on this table, he paid that. And it makes us rejoice. You have to be thankful. You have to be grateful. If I were to take a quick aside, the holiday approaching being Thanksgiving, you got to be thankful. A part of being thankful is realizing the worth system. The fact that, what am I worth? What do I deserve? What do I not deserve? And my goodness, look at all that I have. Again, if you go down that path, you can't help but be thankful. I could spend a long time going down that path just looking at the physical realm. To quote, I think it was according to Facebook, Dr. Ben Carson said that he's already won life's lottery because he was born in the U.S. and he knows Jesus. I'd put him in reverse order. But I fully get what Facebook attributes to him. I don't know if he said it or not. But that's the thankful aspect. When it comes to the atoning, our sin is so egregious. I like the sound of that word. I don't really know what it means, but it's really bad. And yet, it's atoned for. And I think a lot of the worship songs that we sing, a lot of the thankfulness that we have to the Lord, a lot of our worship is based on the fact that it's paid for. I have spent a lot of time enjoying the positional truth that I am seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, present tense today. Looks like I'm standing in Bridgeville, but I'm actually seated with Christ in heavenly places, and that's because my sin's been atoned for. It's because I'm in Him and because He's in me. And that's the place that I sit. People tell you, you know, keep looking up, be positive, and then the artful preacher says, no, brother, keep looking down. Why keep looking down? Because you're seated in heavenly places in Christ. Amen, that's great, that's wonderful. But that's a part of what Jesus did. Now, obviously, I'm not going to explain everything that Jesus did. But I was recently quickened in Leviticus 16, and I won't read you the whole chapter, though I usually do that. But if we just look at Leviticus 16, verses 7 through 10, that's going to give us a quick picture of where I want to go. Leviticus chapter 16, verse 7, it says, he shall take two goats and present them before the Lord at the doorway of the tent of meeting. Aaron shall cast lots for the two goats, one for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. Then Aaron shall offer the goat on which the lot for the Lord fell and make it a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot for the scapegoat fell shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement upon it, to send it to the wilderness as the scapegoat. One of the problems that I've had with scapegoat is, I think the way that I understand how we use the word today has messed it up for me. I have always interpreted it as there's this. So this business entity did a horrible wrong thing and all these people were injured, and there's one guy that they make the scapegoat. And so he's the guy that goes to jail. Meanwhile, all the fat cats are sitting there still making their money. And Floyd over here, he's the scapegoat. And it's just not fair. And Floyd's out there telling the press, not me, it's not me. I'm being the scapegoat. They're using me. It's them. And that's sort of the picture that I've had of scapegoat. And that doesn't really work with the Lord sets up for us all the way back in Leviticus, thousands of years ago, that here's a part of what Jesus did on the cross. The part that we understand clearly is this part of atonement. The fact that Aaron was to take the sins of the people and put it on the one that was to be the sacrifice. And we get that picture really clear. Jesus took my sin, the penalty for my greed, my idolatry, my pride, my arrogance, my anger, my lust, my whatever it is, he paid the penalty. Those sins were placed on him. He was sacrificed on the cross, just like we read in Leviticus 6 with one of the two goats. One was to be sacrificed. And so we got that picture. We got that real good. And we are very thankful that we've been atoned, that our sins have been atoned for. But what I'm seeing now with this scapegoat is the sin kind of went into two places. And I'm, as I see it, the sin went in two places. One went on the goat that was sacrificed, and that was for atonement. So now it's paid for, it's covered, it's dealt with. My sin also went onto this other goat that they led out into the wilderness. And so when I would read this in the past, I was like, well, what happened next? So where did he go? Did he come wandering back into the camp? Did he fall away and die? What happened? Well, the issue isn't with the goat, the scapegoat. I don't care what happened to the goat. What happened was my sins left. See, it's one thing that they're paid for. It's one thing that I can sit in heavenly places in Christ. It's one thing that I can stand before as the preachers say, a thrice holy God. I can stand before God without shame because it's paid for. It's another thing that these sins that I'm struggling with and living with, I'm not struggling with and living with. They're gone. Because what happened is they were placed on the scapegoat and they left here. So what Jesus did was he paid for our sin, but he set us free. So when we were singing this morning that he breaks every chain, there's so many people who spend all this time looking for victory, dealing with, I got this sin right here in my face. This isn't just another message about Romans 7, that, although it is really that, 7 and 8. But we tend to make it into a struggle. There's this thing, it's still here. It's not here. So let me ask you, how many of you committed a sin sometime within the past month? At least one sin. Thank you. All right. Two? No, we'll leave it right there. So, this morning, did you feel unrighteous before the Lord based on that one sin? That's kind of a trick question. You may have felt it. Feelings are no good. Don't trust them. Unless they line up with the truth, then you can give them a little bit of rein. But, like in praise and worship. But if you felt unworthy before the Lord based on that sin, then you don't understand atoning. That sin was paid for. Now, when did you commit that sin? Sometime within the last 4 weeks. When was it atoned for? Sometime within the last 4 weeks? This Sunday morning when you praised? This Sunday morning when you put money in the collection plate? That's funny because we don't pass one. When was it atoned for? At least the latest it was atoned for was 2,000 years ago, if not before the foundations of the world and God's plan. So when were you separated from that sin? Is that coming in the future? Are you dealing with pride right now? I can't separate myself from pride. You're dealing with arrogance, unforgiveness, bitterness, lust? Are there things that you're like, oh man, I got to get free from this worry? There's all these things that we think that we're just really caught up with. When you commit that sin of arrogance, when you commit that sin of bitterness, that sin of unforgiveness yesterday, when you did whatever you did yesterday, it was atoned for 2,000 years ago, and you were set free from it 2,000 years ago. It's not a living enemy in your face. And you might be telling me, well, based on my experience, it's made an encampment here. It lives here. Well, it's because you don't understand. I think there's too many Christians that are going for a walk in the woods. You're looking for your goat. You've been separated from bitterness and arrogance and unforgiveness. You've been separated from worry. You've been separated from fear. You've been separated from doubt. All those things were placed on the scapegoat. It's been separated from you. And it didn't happen this morning when you saw it. It didn't happen last week. It didn't happen. It happened at the latest, it was 2,000 years ago. The word that I have to share this morning is just like really short. It's like, get out of the woods. Quit looking for that goat. Quit accepting those sins. Now, this makes it sound like it's just a choice. Like, just stop sinning. Just go ahead, stop. Well, but you are free. You really are free. If you think you're not free, though, you're going to act like you're not free. It's the easiest analogy ever is to look at the slavery here in the U.S., There came a date and time when the slaves were set free. Now, if they chose to stay on the plantation, and if they chose to receive beatings from their master, and if they chose to stay there, it's not because they weren't free. It's because they made the wrong choice. They actually are free. And there's so many Christians who actually are free that are... what's the Julia Roberts movie? Sleeping with the Enemy. Living with the enemy, because that's how things always go. I always get offended just like that. As soon as somebody looks at me the wrong way, I just blow right up, because that's how I am. No, you are free. You are totally free to walk in the life that God has for you. So with that, I'll wrap up the short word and... it's very simple. Hallelujah, he atoned for our sins. We will soon share the Lord's table together. And there are so many aspects of the Lord's table that we could talk about, but one of those is the fact that his body was broken and his blood was shed to pay the penalty for our sins. And the other aspect is you've been separated from your sins. That arrogance, that pride, that bitterness, the unforgiveness, the lust, the list goes on and on and on and on. And those are, I'm just stepping on my toes on those. You get your own set. But you're free. You're free in Christ. You can walk that way. And as soon as the old way pops up its face in front of you, you just go, we're not even connected anymore. I'm in Christ. So, Father, I thank you for your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. I thank you that you made the way to break every chain, to set the captives free, to allow your people to walk in your life, light, character, and person. Help us, moment by moment, to walk in the reality of your life living freely through us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.